Good morning. I'm Representative Dave Pinto. I'm the chair of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee, and I'm calling this meeting of the committee to order pursuant to House Rule 10.01, which allows for virtual hearings of this type. Welcome to members of the public. You can find our meeting materials, including an agenda, on the House website and on our committee website. So I'd encourage you to check that out. There's a lot of material there. We're going to begin, as we usually do, with the taking of the roll. And Ms. Chambers, if you could please do that.
Representative Pinto, chair.
Present.
Representative Pryor, vice chair.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Bolden.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Daphne, excused. Representative Damon.
Present.
Representative Jurgens.
Present.
Representative Cotiza-Witun.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Present.
And Representative Wozlowit.
Present.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, present.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you. And if I could ask Representative Pryor to move approval of the minutes, and my notes say it's the minutes from March 9th, which should be from a week ago, and I'm just confirming. I think that must be the case, so we'll catch up with the one from the 11th. But Representative Pryor, if you could please move approval of those minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Any additions or corrections, members? I'm sorry. I guess actually it is, you know what, it is the 11th, I'm being told by staff. I'm getting some help here, so thank you so much. Representative Pryor, do you mind amending your motion? It'll be the minutes from March 11th.
Also so moved.
All right. Thank you. We have that adjusted motion. So no additions or corrections, it sounds like, members. So all in favor of approval of the minutes from March 11th, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. The motion is March 11th are adopted. Looks like, okay. Hopefully we're getting our sound to work here. So Representative Wozlowit, you are first up. Would you like to move House File 2003 to bring it before the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would make that motion.
Thank you so much. And I understand, actually, maybe what we'll do is have you give a bit of background and then you can move the A2 amendment, I guess, however you prefer to do that. But I should note, just as I turn things to you, Representative Wozlowit, how grateful I am to you for co-chairing the Family Child Care Task Force, which this bill comes out of. I also want to note the participation of Representative Damuth as well. I know we'll have more conversation, but we've really been awaiting this day for a while, because this is a day where we're focusing quite a bit on our family child care providers who do such critical, critical work. So Representative Wozlowit, take it away, and we'll do the A2 amendment however you'd like to.
Sure. Yeah, I can give a little background on how we got here, and then we can do the A2 amendment. So House File 2003 is essentially it's the recommendations, legislative recommendations coming out of the Family Child Care Task Force. And the Family Child Care Task Force was part of legislation in 2019, was established in statute, and the purpose was to sort of bring together a lot of the people, the players involved, I guess you could say, in family child care. And so this included a whole bunch of providers from across the state, licensors, DHS staff, and then folks from various organizations and nonprofits that work with child care and family child care providers across the state. So it was a really, really comprehensive group of folks who came together, and we had 8 duties that were laid out in statute, and we worked from 2019 until early 2021 to sort of go deeper on those, the issues that were sort of noted for us to concentrate on. And then we put out an interim report in 2020 and then continued our work through the pandemic virtually to put out our sort of final report early this year. So that's sort of how we got here. We had sort of tackled a variety of issues ranging from licensing to, you know, business supports for providers, and lots of other things. So that's sort of wide range of duties that we looked at, a wide range of issues. Certainly not every single issue that's ever come up in conversations with providers, but a pretty broad swath of things. So that's sort of how we got here today. And Mr. Chair, with that, I would move the A2 amendment.
Okay, if you could just let us know just about the content of that amendment. Remember, this is an author's amendment, just to put the bill in the shape that the author wishes But if you could just let us know that, Representative Wasley.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So essentially, the A2 amendment is a variety of things. It removes things that were not recommendations of the task force. There were a few things that got put into the bill when it was drafted that were not recommendations that were made by the full task force. Those things were removed, as well as things that didn't fit exactly with what we were trying to do. So those are some of the major changes. We also added in a couple of things that were missing from the bill. And then we made some tweaks to language based on technical assistance by DHS. So that's sort of the overview of what that amendment does.
Okay, thank you. Any questions regarding the motion? And so hearing none, all in favor of approval of the amendment to put the bill in the form that the author wishes, please say aye.
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 Any no? Okay, so the motion prevails, and the bill has now been amended. And then Representative Wasilewicz, I don't know if you would like to do any further presentation on the bill. I think it does make sense for somebody to do a walkthrough, and we could have you do that. We can ask Ms. Mock to do that, because there are a number of provisions, and I know we have a couple testifiers as well.
Yeah, I think it might be helpful to have Ms. Mock walk through the bill and sort of talk about what's in it and how they match up with recommendations. And I will say there are a couple of things that we're still working on with DHS. I think one or two particular recommendations that we just didn't have enough time to sort of flesh out to get in here, but those will be part of the continuing conversation. So I will turn it over to Ms. Mock.
Good. And as we do that, I'll point out, I believe, Ms. Mock, there is a bill summary that reflects the bill as amended by the amendment that was just adopted. So that is, again, members of the public, that's on our website. I direct members' attention to that as well. It kind of walks through. But Ms. Mock, if you could please do a quick walk through the bill, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. The first article of the bill has two sections. Section 1 and 2 are both have to do with the Family Child Care Regulation Modernization Project, which is a standalone bill that we've also heard in committee. The second article of the bill has to do with changing the tort liability for municipalities. And this is a provision that has to do with changing how municipalities are liable or not for, particularly for when variances are granted to child care providers. The third article is a number of recommendations related to, the first one, section one, has to do with creating a family child care one-stop assistance network. So this directs DHS to develop a proposal to create a regional assistance network so that child care providers can use it to gain the help that they need for their work. And this proposal has to be developed by DHS by January 1st of 2022. The second proposal is one that is not currently in the Senate bill. And this is a recommendation for to DHS to develop orientation training for newly licensed child care providers, in particular to help them understand the different rules and statute, or the different requirements in statute and rules. The third and fourth sections of Article 3 have to do with appropriations. The first one is an appropriation for child provider grants, and this is it's a blank appropriation for a grant to DEED to provide to help local communities increase the supply of child care providers. Section 4 is an appropriation, again, to DEED, and this is for a competitive grant to a nonprofit organization to create a business training program for child care providers. Article 4, the first section of Article 4 adds a definition of family child care or group family child care provider to a section of statute. And this section of statute uses these terms, but doesn't currently have a definition. So this adds the definition of family child care provider and group family child care program. It also adds a definition of special family child care program. That's in section 2. And then that additional definition relates to what is happening in section 3 of this article, which basically modifies existing statute and sort of breaks up existing statute into a new part. And so this section 3 basically governs licensing for what is now called a special family child care program, which refers to programs that are operated in a dwelling other than the license holder's own residence. And then if you go down to section 4, This creates a new term in statute, alternative child care program, and discusses the licensing for these programs. And basically, this Section 4 copies text that's in current statute and just moves it over and gives it a new name. Section 5 is a technical correction to a statutory reference that was needed because of the changes in Section 3 and Section 4. And then Article 5 has to do with the Parent Aware, the Quality Rating and Improvement System in Minnesota. So Section 1 directs DHS to arrange an independent evaluation of the Parent Aware, and Section 2 is an appropriation for that evaluation. And this is the language that was in a bill, I believe we heard a few weeks ago, House File 1876. Article 6 has to do largely with training requirements for licensed family child care providers. So Section 1 has to do with allowing family child care providers to count up to 2 hours of training instruction toward their annual 16-hour training requirement. Section 2 has to add some types of courses that licensed family child care providers can count toward their active supervision training requirement. And then Section 3 creates a family child care training advisory committee, which is intended to be formed to advise DHS on the different training requirements for licensed family child care providers. And then DHS is required to report to the legislator about the recommendations that it receives. And the committee expires on December 1st of 2025. And then Article 7 has two sections. Section 1 establishes an ombudsperson for child care providers. And Section 2 provides an appropriation for that ombudsperson. And this language is the same as the language that we'll hear for House File 61 today.
Thank you, Ms. Mock. I'll note a number of the provisions are contained in other bills we've either heard or we'll be hearing the one bill, House File 61, about the ombudsperson shortly. One thing, Ms. Mock, I think that you may have misspoken, but please correct me if we can just clarify this. You mentioned the Family Child Care Regulation Modernization Bill having been heard previously, and I believe what we heard was the Child Care Center Regulation Modernization Bill. And so this, okay, good, I can see you nodding, so okay. So just confirming everyone then that we heard one bill on regulation modernization, that's hard to say, on child care centers previously. We're now hearing the provision regarding family child care. Let me think. Representative Wozlik?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to also, there are a couple of recommendations that are moving as standalone bills that are not included in this larger bill. So the retain and teach, the retain grant and teach scholarship funding, and then the modernization regularization also is a standalone bill. And there might be one more that I'm missing off the top of my head. But so there are a couple of pieces that are also moving separately that aren't in here, but we've heard them and we've discussed them. So just wanted to point that out as well.
Thank you. We do have several testifiers. I'll just see if there's any clarification questions from Ms. Mock. Obviously, we'll have a committee discussion as well. So I'm not seeing any. And so why don't we go to the first testifier, who is Kim. Representative Wozlik, is that okay to move to testifiers now? It's okay.
Yep.
Okay. So Ms. Leopold, we'll start with you if you can identify yourself for the record. But reminder to all testifiers that we'll ask you to keep things fairly brief if you can. We will have a packed agenda, but we want to get to hear from you. So Ms. Leopold, if you can identify yourself and proceed.
Chairperson Pinto and committee members, I'm Kim Leopold, and I'm representing the Association of Minnesota Family Child Care Licensors, not Dakota County. I'm not always clear about that when I email back and forth, but just make sure that that's known. I'm not representing my county right now. And also, my name is spelled L-E-I-P-O-L-D.
Oh, we will get that fixed. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah,
thanks.
It's okay. We, AMFCCL, is in support of the draft as it is written. I know that Ms. Wozlik, Representative Wozlik, and I had some conversations before this, and the concerns were addressed. And I was looking at something that I was concerned about yesterday, and it seems as it was removed as well. So MFCCL is in support of the bill as it is presented.
Thank you so much. There we go. Cindy Cunningham, you are up next. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Yes, Chair Pinto and committee members. My name is Cindy Cunningham. I've been a licensed family child care provider in St. Paul for approximately 25 years, and I am the current public policy chairperson for Minnesota Child Care Provider Information Network, MCPIN, which is the 501c3 association for the state of Minnesota for licensed child care providers. I served as the MCPIN representative of the Family Child Care Task Force over the past 2 years. I'm testifying now in support of the full bill as amended and as the corrections that were made. The bill presented is based on the report of the work of the eight duties of the legislature of the state where we were to address. The task force was the compilation of many entities of family child care. These entities have not worked together in such a deep and broad fashion before. The work stretched us all to consider aspects we've often not aware existed and to work together in a manner which has rarely been seen. Little was left to question as everyone dug into research information and present solutions which are most likely to work in all areas affected. Please support the passing of House File 2003 as it is aligned with amendments. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Cunningham, and thank you for your work and your advocacy. And then our final testifier is Joel Carlson. Please identify yourself and proceed. Glad to have you back.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business in St. Paul, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Association for Justice. And I want to talk just about Article 3 of the proposal as amended, and want you to know that we appreciate the challenges that family child care providers face. It is a difficult task. We understand the shortage, and we certainly applaud your efforts to make life easier for being in this business and providing quality care. Our concerns have been longstanding as it relates to Article 3. Since 1986, the legislature has required county licensing agents to take action when they have actual knowledge of a dangerous condition that could harm a child. And we, through several efforts to repeal and amend that language, have continually spoken against that because we want people to take action when they know of dangerous conditions. The language as amended gets us closer to something that we can work with because the problem that has arisen as we see it since 2013 as after they made a major revision to family child care is on the granting of variances. And we don't want the county licensing agent to feel that simply granting a variance in and of itself constitutes actual knowledge of a dangerous condition. And that concept, which was in Representative Wasilit's amendment, is something that I think we can try and work with. Some of the language in there about being found guilty of malfeasance, those don't really mesh with what we're thinking is an appropriate addition to that section. And all of this is driven by a change Part of this is driven by a change that was made in 2013 that allowed family child care providers to simply acknowledge to families that they don't carry insurance. And so we have, and that's, it's a form on a box and they check it. And so that has really driven some of the concern because you're granting variances and you have child care providers, not all of them, many of them carry insurance, but many don't. And the ones that we, that our members try and represent are the ones that don't have insurance. And when you have a child death, when you have an injury, and you find out that on the intake form they checked the box that said they didn't have insurance and told you that had to do with getting health care, nothing about liability, it's really a problem. And that's an issue that we would like the legislature to address, not necessarily in this bill, but at some point, because it is a problem and we do not mandate insurance. And I'm not suggesting that we need to, but possibly when you're granting a variance, check the box and see if they have insurance. That is a protection for families and for the provider and for the county that I really think we should be considering. Happy to answer questions, Mr. Chairman. This has been a long-standing issue. I've worked on it since 1986 when this section was first adopted, and it is an important protection for children, and we hope we can get it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. I'm going to call and lead Franson in just a second, but I wanted to just clarify. I think you may have misspoken that you made a couple references to Article 3 in the bill. I think perhaps you were talking about Article 2. This relates to licensing of providers, and I just want to make sure that we're clear about.
Mr. Chairman, on the bill as introduced, it's on page 5.19. It's duty number 3, and on the amendment, it is on lines 1.14.
Okay, thanks for doing that. Yeah, and Representative Franson, this is for Mr. Carlson. Your question is. Yeah, please.
Hi. Oh gosh, I'm trying to put the video on. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson, I was a licensed child care provider, as you know, and you and I have gone over this liability insurance. I'm actually kind of taken back at your comment that when you check the box, providers will say this is about health insurance. That is not true. Maybe you've experienced one or two cases where that is, but over the spectrum of child care providers, that is not the case. There is a form that we have that clearly says, yes, I have liability insurance, or no, I don't have liability insurance in regards to the child care business. When I first started my business, I could not afford the liability insurance. I went without liability insurance. Parents got a copy of that. I kept a copy of that. Parents do not leave the interview without knowing if that provider has insurance or not. After a while, after about a year and a half, I did get the insurance, which was an additional, I think, $80-some a month. When you're first starting out with child care, that $80 is kind of expensive. But to paint the child care industry, licensed home providers, as irresponsible, misleading, lying to the parents, I think does a very big disservice to the entire industry. Like I said, you may have had... I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just simply stating that you may have had a case or two where that happened. But overall, the industry is extremely honest and does not mislead by saying, oh, this is all about health insurance. That is ridiculousness.
Mr. Carlson, you want to respond to that? Or at least I want to give you the opportunity if you'd like to.
Well, unfortunately, Representative Franson, the cases that we know about is exactly how that has happened. And as you know, as I talked to you in your office, at least one of those cases were a child death case. And so it is a concern. And I cast no aspersion on any child care providers. I'm telling you what our experience has been. I told you we recognize the challenges daycare providers face, and we're applaud your efforts to make it easier for them. The issue of accountability and insurance doesn't at all indicate that that we're suggesting that they're poor providers or negligent providers. The point is that we don't require it and we don't even ask for it. And that's the point we're trying to make. And we said nothing negative about any providers, but I can tell you from sad experience that providers do tell them that it is only related to their health insurance if there's an injury to the child. And we know that for a fact because, unfortunately, those are death cases that our members have had to deal with.
And back to you, Representative Franson.
Yeah, I think, once again, every committee, Mr. Chair, that Joel Carlson testifies in for child care, he brings up this thing and paints the child care industry as liars. That is not about health insurance. There is clearly a form that is filled out whether the provider has liability insurance or not. I'm just going off a recollection here, but I think there is even is amount what that liability insurance, what that coverage is. Providers are not saying on a whole, and he deals with a few people. It's not, I'm offended for the industry.
Okay. Thank you.
And we're not trying to offend them. The box says, and it's a small little box, and it says, I do not have liability insurance. That's it. It has nothing to do about amounts or anything. I have the form, That's not what it is. The point is, we want people to be protected. We want it to be safe. That's all we're trying to convey. And we're not suggesting anything else.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Carlson, and an ongoing conversation, clearly. I might just ask Representative Bosler regarding this. My understanding is that it seems like there is some progress being made in conversations on the Senate side, et cetera. And so it does seem like this is something that is being worked on, this particular issue. Is that right, Representative Bosler?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yep. There has been ongoing conversations with the Senate author and the co-chair of the Family Child Care Task Force, Senator Kiffmeyer. So this is something that we're actively working on.
Okay, good. Thank you. So I think we're ready for member questions. And again, I'll point out that several of the pieces of this have been heard previously, and then the one piece we'll be hearing in just a moment through Representative Damoth's bill. So it's a somewhat smaller target for us. But Representative Damoth, we'll go with you. You're a member of the Family Child Care Task Force. And please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Wasilewicz, for being chief author on this bill. It was an honor to work on the Family Child Care Task Force. It was important work that we did. I don't specifically have a question right now, just wanted to say that I was honored to be a part of that. We know that our child care providers are essential, and that was made all the more true during the pandemic. And so to have this work specifically for this industry start prior to the pandemic, have it continue through, and then to be at this point is a great start in the right direction for child care providers. So just wanted to make that comment.
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, thank you to you for your work, and of course, to co-chair Representative Wasilewicz for her work too. Members, this bill is going to be laid over for possible inclusion in our budget bill, just so we're clear on that. Looking to see if there are any other questions or comments. I don't see any. And so, Representative Wasilewicz, we'll give you the closing remarks about this. And again, we're hearing different pieces in different ways, but really, really appreciate your focus on this critical part of our early care and learning industry. But yeah, anything else you want to say about the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just echo sort of the comments that Representative Damoth made. We did a lot of work. It was a lot of hours spent in our larger task force and in our smaller work groups, getting the work done and really digging deep on these issues. And I think the end product has really been something that's widely supported and that will make a big difference for family child care providers. So appreciate the time to have the hearing today and discuss more, and hope to see these things coming out at the end. Thank you.
Thank you so much again for your work. So with that, the chair lays over House File 2003 for possible inclusion in our committee's budget bill. And then our next step is to dive in more deeply to one particular part of the set of recommendations. So we're bringing up House File 61. And Representative Damoth, would you like to move the House File 61 be referred to the Committee on Judiciary and Civil Law?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I'm making sure that I've got exactly, yes, I guess Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law, but I think that was clear enough. And I don't believe you have any amendments. So, Representative Damoth, if you can please present your bill, and we've got a couple testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will be brief. Members, House File 61 is creating a position, an ombudsperson for the child care providers, and that's going to assist providers with licensing, compliance, and other issues. I had carried this bill last session, and we heard it almost a year ago, almost 2 years ago, that we actually heard the bill. Unfortunately, we didn't get it over the finish line, but here we are again. I do have two testifiers that will share a little bit more in depth, but one of the things that did come out of the findings of the Child Care Task Force was the need for an ombudsperson. We definitely need to have someone that our providers can go to with all of their questions. That position does not exist at this point, and this is a way that we can help further stand up this industry, meet the needs that there are, get those questions answered. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to my testifiers with your permission.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Damoth. So we've got Kelly Martini, and if you can please identify yourself and then proceed with your testimony.
Yes, Chair Pinto and committee members. My name is Kelly Martini. I am a family child care provider from Avon, Minnesota, and I've been caring for children for 22 years. I'm also the president of our local daycare association, SBCCA, Stearns Benton Child Care Association. A couple years ago, I had a provider reach out to me and telling me about a correction order she had received. after her licensing visit, where her husband told the licensor about how he was helping his wife do dishes. Hopefully you have a copy of the correction order. I sent it in for you guys to refer on it. This license sent her a correction order stating, quote, "I was able to staff the concern of your husband assisting you in childcare on August 2018 after your accident. It has been determined that this is a violation of Minnesota Statute Section 245A.50, Subdivision 5.A, due to your husband with care of infants and children. Your correction order regarding this attachment is on this letter," unquote. What her licensor didn't consider that her husband was doing dishes while his wife was doing her job taking care of the children, daycare children. He was just doing dishes, not being left alone, not even assisting her with the care of children. Again, just doing dishes. This is just one scenario of many of what licensed family child care providers across Minnesota deal with and question. This provider called me to ask what she should do because we have no one impartial to reach out to about a correction order or a negative action order other than the licensing division in most counties or DHS. And most providers think they can only have licensing division in their county, not knowing who to contact at DHS. This story is similar as fighting, as you would fight a speeding ticket with the officer that gave it to you. That's basically what we consider. Licensed family child care providers have no neutral third party to reach out and discuss the validity of the licensing action. Seeing that there's UMBIS people, persons, to help in various situations like long-term care, foster care, schools, universities, mental health, the list goes on. We providers across Minnesota know that this would help with the ability to be more confident with agreeing to disagree or with a correction order or negative action order. So I ask you to vote yes on House File 61 today. Thank you.
Ms. Martini, thank you, and thanks for your important work for young kids and their families. And I should note, I was looking for the correction order you referenced and realized it was not on our committee website. I think it was included in the packet sent out, and so we're having that posted right now. So my apologies if anybody was looking for that, but thanks for referencing it, and it should be on our website very, very shortly. So Cindy Cunningham, you are up next, and please, if you can just re-identify yourself and then please proceed.
Mr. Chair and committee members, my name is Cindy Cunningham. I've been a licensed family child care provider in St. Paul for 25 years, and I'm the current public policy chairperson for Minnesota Child Care Provider Information Network, MCPIN, which is the 501c3 statewide association for licensed child care providers. I have served as the MCPIN representative on the Family Task Force over the past 2 years. I'm testifying in support for House File 61 on behalf of MCPIN, which establishes this ombudsperson position. This position was strongly supported on the task force membership under the work of Duty 8. Family child care providers in a constant position of attempting to navigate the disjointed licensing system with no roadmap and no centralized support. Providers move forward doing their best and frequently wondering if they are doing the right steps. When things do not go well, especially in cases of negative actions, the only individuals to instruct them as what to do are those on the, quote, other side of the accusation. DHS and licensors are not neutral in their advice and direction. Excuse me. Too often a provider has no one to turn to unless they happen to know individuals in organizations like Kelly, myself, our organization, or someone else who happens to know the roads. There's need of one central call line where there is access to all information. Licensing units have a central line to obtain this clarification and direction. Providers also need one. As presented in the bill, it is critical in this establishment is the need for the position to be a separate entity from DHS and the licensing unit. There are other systems established which have been successful in assisting with this kind of a model. The IRS even has an ombudsperson to be able to turn to, along with the others that Kelly has listed. School districts have an ombudsperson who is separate from the superintendent and answers to the school board. This position must be established outside of the political arenas and focus strictly on assisting providers with information support to navigate the licensing challenges. Please support the House File 61. This bill was put forth, it was almost exactly 2 years ago this week, and providers need not wait any longer for this kind of support and direction to navigate the system. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Cunningham. So I believe that that's it in terms of testifiers. Right, and so I think Representative Damuth, unless you have anything else you want to say, we'll move to member questions and discussion. Doesn't look like it, so we'll do that. Any member questions or discussion that anybody has? And to confirm that this is part of the recommendations from the Family Child Care Task Force, and I think really, really important to get this finally in place. So looking to see. So Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to let Representative DeMuth know that I'm really happy with this bill. There's so many times that people are in different situations and they don't know where to turn. And this is a bill that will give them a direction and give them advice and just make it much more streamlined and better communication. So just thank you for doing that bill, and we support it and look forward to the further discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. It's pretty amazing how just having somebody in place whose job it is to just help navigate a process or make connections, et cetera, what a difference that can make. Well put. So before we turn things to the bill's author, just see if we have anybody else, and we don't. And so, Ms. Leopold, you had something you wanted to add briefly?
Yes, this is Kim Leopold, representative of the Association of Minnesota Family Child Care. And I wasn't in touch with anyone to say that we are in support of this bill as well. I just want that on the record. Especially when it comes to, as Ms. Cunningham mentioned, when there are licensing actions, we can no longer be a support to providers. And that process is very, very confusing. And we have spent many years developing relationships with providers, and all of a sudden we have to be very hands off. So we are in support of an ombudsperson for child care providers. They definitely need that support.
Good stuff. Thank you for sharing those comments. So with that, we'll turn back to Representative Damuth for any closing comments on the bill. And I should note, as we do that, members, that we will be sending, the plan is to send this bill on to the Judiciary, Finance and Civil Law Committee, as was noted in the motion, and that's because of the data and other provisions within it. And so we will be voting on it once we move to that. But Representative Damuth, final words before that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing this bill. And I should also note that Ms. Leopold, Ms. Martini, and Ms. Cunningham are all members of the Family Child Care Task Force also. So I appreciate their work, over 19 meetings and 23 of us trying to whittle it down to eight. But this is a very important bill, as has been mentioned already. I won't belabor that fact, but I do appreciate the members' support and you hearing it this morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Damuth, and thank you for pointing that out. I actually had not realized that, and so many thanks to the three testifiers for your work, because I know there were many, many hours, and I'm really, really grateful. And to all five of you, I guess. We probably almost have a quorum of that Family Child Care Task Force here. So with that, Representative Damuth renews her motion that House File 61 be referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. And Ms. Chambers, if you could please take the role on that motion.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson. Representative Franson.
I said yes.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Bolden.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Dabney. Excused. Representative Damon.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotiza Watun.
Aye.
Representative Morrison. Representative Wozlowick.
Aye.
Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, aye.
We have 11 ayes and 2 absence.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. With that, by a majority vote, the motion prevails, and House File 61 is on its way to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. What I'm inclined to do, members, I think I'd like to make a switch in the agenda and pull up House File 5 next, and then we'll move to our House File 1562. Representative Pryor, if you would please take over as chair.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our next item on the agenda is House File 5. Chair Pinto, would you like to move your bill to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means?
And thank you, Madam Chair. So I do make that motion regarding House File 5.
And I believe you have a DE1 amendment to offer?
I do, Madam Chair. Yes, I do offer the DE1 amendment. And members, we heard this language, I think about a month ago now. To remind you, House File 5, as introduced, contained some COVID relief funding for the early care and learning sector. As that bill was introduced and in the early days, we have fortunately been able to have some continued emergency funding and support funding going for the sector. And what the DE1 amendment contains, and again, we heard this about a month ago, is the summer learning proposal from the administration to make sure that our young kids are caught up and ready for kindergarten. And so that's what the DE1 amendment contains. I would ask for your support in making that amendment to the bill.
Right. So committee members, all in favor of the DE1 amendment, which puts the bills in the form that the author would like, please unmute yourself and say aye.
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 Thank you. The motion carries, and the DE1 amendment is adopted. All right. And Chair Pinto, would you like to present your bill now as amended?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, we had a pretty extensive discussion about this some time ago. So simply remind members that this bill would allocate $20 million to provide summer learning opportunities for young kids ages 4 and 5 to get them caught up and ready for kindergarten. I think what probably makes the most sense, since we did have a discussion previously, is to move to, I know that there's another amendment that's been adopted, and to discuss that, and then we can go from there.
All right. So then we're looking at the DE2 amendment, Chair Pinto.
I believe so, Madam Chair. I think it's being offered by a member. I see Representative Damoth unmuted, so she may be the one offering it.
All right.
I do have the DE2, Madam Chair.
All right. Could you tell us the contents of the DE2 amendment?
Absolutely. The DE2 amendment appropriates $20 million to the Early Learning Scholarship Program. The commissioner and the scholarship administrators must prioritize additional funding to qualifying children ages 4 and 5 for summer learning activities. A qualifying child would meet the same eligibility requirements for early learning scholarships, with these funds targeted to 4 and 5-year-old children. The funds may be used to increase a current scholarship during the summer and award new scholarships for families on the waiting list. And with that, Madam Chair, I would request a roll call.
All right, roll call being requested. Is there any more discussion to the DE2 amendment? And Chair Pinto, I'll turn it to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'd like to do, if I can, is I know Bobby Burnham from the Department of Education is on. I'd like to see if we can get commentary from her regarding the amendment. I'll have a comment myself, but would like to have comment from her first, if we can.
All right, Ms. Burnham, could you please identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony and comments?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Pryor, Representative Pinto, committee members. So the Early Learning Scholarship Program is probably not the best option for this summer programming for a couple different reasons. The intent of this preschool summer proposal for 4 and 5-year-olds is to provide really high-quality early learning opportunities for 4- and 5-year-old children prior to entering kindergarten in the fall of 2021, whose learning may have been interrupted due to the COVID pandemic. So the summer preschool proposal captures children who may not be served through early learning scholarships. So the children who were age 5 as of September 1, 2020, you know, are not eligible for early learning scholarships. So thus, this change would effectively make one of the intended cohorts and one of the intended age groups ineligible. So since the current scholarship waitlist only includes children birth through 4, changing this proposal to be administered as early learning scholarship really diverts an unknown amount of money away from the intended 5-year-old age group. And so while the priority for eligibility is low-income children with similar priorities as early learning scholarships, the summer preschool proposal captures a wider population for priority, including children who are tribally enrolled, children receiving supports and services as those needs are identified through possibly early learning screening or even early childhood special ed. And really utilizing the current early scholarship model would create an additional layer of administratively burden for families that would need to apply for a scholarship if they were previously did not have one, rather than just being able to directly enroll in an available slot. So I think, you know, the summer preschool proposal is a determined number of slots at eligible programs across different program types. So Head Start, school-based, licensed childcare. So it's really to hit the need of those 4- and 5-year-olds who learning was interrupted due to COVID, and to get them some really concentrated support during the summer months.
Thank you, Ms. Brennan. And Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate the amendment. As Representative Damuth knows, and everyone knows, I'm a strong supporter of increasing funding for early care and learning in a wide variety of ways, certainly including the early learning scholarships. But as Ms. Burnham said, it feels like this proposal sort of aimed at a slightly different goal, and it. We certainly want to make sure between the federal funding that's recently been approved and then our own committee budget target that I hope that we'll be receiving in some form very shortly, that we'll be able to have funding that goes to this purpose, but to that broader purpose, but the specific purpose of the summer preschool, I guess I would ask members to vote against this DE2 amendment, and we can accomplish this through other means. I certainly want to encourage Representative Damuth as the maker to have the last word.
Representative Damon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to respond, we know that in our committee, we discussed the value of the Early Learning Scholarship Program and then recently considered a bill to fully fund those scholarships for children from birth to age 4. We know that we have bipartisan agreement on the Early Learning Scholarships. It does provide access to high-quality programs for those children most in need. And then we also did talk about we heard from Ms. Burnham about the waiting list. There's 2,800 children on the waiting list for scholarships, and that figure is going to grow. And so we do need to consider the DE2. I would appreciate member support.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, we will take the roll on the DE2 amendment. Ms. Chambers.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
No.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Bolden.
No.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Dabney. Excused. Representative Damon.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cochise Watun.
No.
Representative Morrison.
Morrison, no.
Representative Wasliwick.
No.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, no.
We have 5 ayes and 8 nays with 1 absent.
There being 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. And actually, I think we're going to correct, take another look at that count. There being 5 ayes and 7 nays. Is that correct, Ms. Chambers?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, thank you. There being 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion to House File 5 as amended. And I'll give a moment to see if there's any comments or questions from members. Seeing none, to the bill's author, Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. I certainly hope that we can take action for broader funding for early learning scholarships and other forms separately, but really would appreciate your support to make sure that this summer we've got kids doing what they need for summer preschool, and would appreciate your support for the bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Pinto renews his motion that House File 5, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. The clerk will take the roll on the motion. Ms. Chambers.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
No.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Bolden.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
No.
Representative Dabney, excused. Representative Damon.
No.
Representative Juergens?
No.
Representative Cotiza Watoon?
Aye.
Representative Morrison?
Morrison, aye.
Representative Wasbowit?
Aye.
And Representative Wolgamott?
Wolgamott, aye.
There are 7 ayes, 5 nays, and 1 absent.
Right, there being 5 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 absent, the motion prevails, and House File 5, as amended, is referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All right. And now we have before us House File 2112. Chair Pinto.
With your permission, Madam Chair, I'd actually like to go back to the bill that we were going to hear, House File 1658, and I'm sorry, 15. I'm looking to see which one it is. 1562. Pardon me, President Wasilewicz's bill, and then get to that other bill at the end.
I will return the gavel to you then, Chair Pinto.
All right. Thank you so much, Madam Vice Chair. Appreciate your help, Representative Wasilewicz. Then, would you like to move House File 1562 before the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I just want to note the bill number is actually 1652, so I want to make sure that we get that. I think it was incorrect on the agenda.
Thank you, Representative Wasilewicz. I think, folks, you can see that we're reaching the point in session where things are moving pretty quickly, and there's a lot going on, so appreciate us all pointing out to one another when we're correcting things. So thank you, Representative Wasilewicz. So it's House File 1652, and that is your motion to move it, bring it before the committee?
So yes. Moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So then, Representative Wasilewicz, if you can please present your bill, and I know there's one testifier.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill is pretty simple. It appropriates $50,000 over the next 2 fiscal years to the Minnesota Child Care Provider Information Network to establish a peer mentoring program for licensed family child care providers in the state. So one of the conversations we had as on the Family Child Care Task Force around sort of what supports did folks need. One of the issues that came up, that it wasn't an official recommendation, but one of the issues that did come up was the idea of a mentoring program. So on the committee website, I believe it was in our committee packets as well, there's a document from McPinn that lays out sort of what the money would be spent on in terms of that $50,000 appropriation. So I know we have a testifier, so I will turn it over to her to talk a little bit more about this.
Yeah, please, Cindy Cunningham, glad to have you again. Please just re-identify yourself, and then please proceed with your testimony on this bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am Cindy Cunningham. I've been a licensed family child care provider in St. Paul for 25 years, and I'm the current public policy chairperson for the Minnesota Child Care Provider Information Network, MCPIN, 501c3 statewide association for licensed child care providers. I again served on the as a representative for MCPIN on the task force for the past 2 years. We are excited to be moving this bill forward with this funding. It allocates funds to MCPIN to establish and implement a much needed mentoring program. It trains providers who will then be mentoring providers to support them to be successful in all areas of the business. A big thank you to Representative Walsliak for bringing this bill forward. It was discussed, as she indicated, in the task force, though not as an identified piece. It has been a goal for MCPIN to bring such a mentoring program forward. So we were excited to be able to have this aligned with the Child Care Task Force. I'm going to ask you to refer to the written testimony submitted by our education chairperson, Cheryl Warner. The MCPIN board is well positioned, especially with Cheryl as the lead in our education. She is trained for the National Association for Family Child Care and Peer Mentoring. She has served as a mentor for the St. Paul area pilot for Parent Aware. She is a renowned and well-known trainer. Our board is a voluntary board of licensed family child care providers who are highly experienced and trained. 5 board members are approved trainers through the state system, and we have about an average of 25 years plus of years providing child care. Research suggests when early childhood educators receive mentoring for the first 5 years of their professional careers, there's a marked increase in the quality of their interactions with children for years to come. We are suggesting that this support will also lead to the longevity in the field. The proposal creates a system of experienced and educated child care providers with relationship-based training to serve the family child care community, and is based on what we know about family child care and mentoring, which is the relationship-based professional development, RBPD, is available for many childhood educators in Minnesota. However, there is a gap when it comes to family child care. Peer mentors are suited for family child care, as nothing can replace the mutual understanding of a peer mentor in a field where you're physically isolated, lacking a method to connect with other knowledgeable professionals in your field. And this is just in time and just what is needed to support the enrich the programs, encourages the caregivers, and brings needed guidance for a program success, all positively impacting the children in care. The development of a peer mentoring program offers educated and experienced family child care providers a pathway for professional development of their own, serving to retain the wisdom of those with successful programs as they share and pay forward their knowledge. The funding will be allocated to areas of designing the training for online and in-person delivery statewide, create a system to implement the peer mentoring services, recruit qualified mentors, and implement the original training, and facilitate a program of mentoring services for at least up to 100 providers over 2 years. MCPIN's intent is to maintain and expand this program as the organization and the state can support both in funding and in human effort. We're asking for state investment in this program, as this will ensure that the system is established and can continue. Currently, there are no other clear funding streams for such a program, which would be developed and led by licensed family child care providers. Other programs may have supports for licensed providers, but they are not peer mentors. State investment will support the Minnesota mixed delivery system by supporting family child care providers. Please support House File 1652 and help us fill this gap so we can support and serve family child care providers. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Cunningham. Thank you for all of your work, which we can see across these 3 bills that you've been involved in working so hard. I want to make sure to direct the attention of members of the public again to our committee website, where there's a number of the documents referenced by Ms. Cunningham. The correction order that was heard, was referenced in the earlier bill discussion, is now on that on the website as well. So thank you. And Representative Walsliak, just a clarification question for you. I believe this was not a formal recommendation of the task force, but sort of fits with maybe the spirit of where the task force is going. If you can just talk about the relationship between this. Representative Damon's bill was a specific recommendation of the task force, and your first bill was. If you could just talk about the relationship between this and the task force.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's sort of a conversation we had on the task force, but it wasn't necessarily a piece of the duties that we looked at. A lot of what we looked at was more in the business support section in terms of support, and then the ombudsperson. So this is sort of an additional piece, sort of a conversation that we had, but not an official recommendation from the task force, but an acknowledgement among family child care providers that this sort of program would be helpful.
Okay, and certainly within, as I understand, within sort of the spirit of the task force of where you all were going. Okay, great. Good. I think that's the only testifier that Ms. Cunningham is. And so just seeing if members, if you have questions or comments regarding this proposal, House File 1652. Representative Pryor, I can see that you're unmuted, but that may have been just from still being, oh yeah, no problem. Just making sure in case there was anything. I am not seeing anything from members, and so I'll ask, Representative Pryor, Representative Wasilewicz, giving you the last word regarding your proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think I can add more to what Ms. Cunningham said. She laid out very well how this would help support family child care providers. So I just hope the committee can support this idea and this program, and that we can get a program set up to help family child care providers help their peers as they get started in this field. Thank you.
Excellent. Good. Well, thanks so much. So with that, the chair lays over House File 1652 for possible inclusion in our committee's budget bill. Thank you so much, Representative Wasilewicz, and Ms. Cunningham, thank you again to you. And so with that, then I'm going to turn things back to Representative Pryor for the final bill.
Right, and I'm all set. I started.
Okay.
I'm still unmuted. Yes, that's what to check for. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our next item on the agenda is House File 2112. Chair Pinto, would you like to move your bill to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means?
Yes, so moved, Madam Chair.
All right. House File 2112 is now before the committee. Chair Pinto, you may present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 2112 is a very small bill that simply makes a little bit of cleanup from a past little bit of cleanup in our laws. I wonder if perhaps maybe Ms. Ma could simply just explain what it does, but simply want to be sending it on to Ways and Means.
Ms. Ma. Could you please identify yourself and present the bill? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Annie Mock, House Research. This bill actually cleans up the forecast for the MFIP Child Care Assistance Program. So it adjusts the forecast to match what was in the February forecast.
Oh, great.
Okay. And
Madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so to confirm, members, this does not make a substantive change going forward. What it does is make sure that that the allocation matches the February forecast. And so it's really a technical change.
All right. Any questions for Chair Pinto? Seeing none. Chair Pinto, final word on your bill.
Thank you, members, for your support.
All right. Chair Pinto renews his motion that House File 2112 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And the clerk will take the roll on this motion. Ms. Chambers.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Representative Franson. Representative Franson.
Sorry, no. I'm having computer problems today, so there must be something. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Thank you. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bolden?
Aye.
Representative Daniels?
Aye.
Representative Dabney, excused. Representative Damon?
Aye.
Franson votes yes. Sorry, there's some major computer problems on my end. I'm having technical difficulties with this internet here.
I think we can adapt to that. Thank you, Representative Branson. And your vote will be recorded as yes.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens, aye.
Representative Cotiza Watune.
Aye.
Representative Morrison.
Morrison, aye.
Representative Waslowit.
Aye.
Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, aye.
We have 12 ayes and one absent.
There being 12 ayes and one absent, the motion prevails, and House File 2112 is referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And with that, I will hand the gavel back to Chair Pinto.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Members, I want to again give a big thank you not only to the members of the Family Child Care Task Force, but to our family child care providers who have done incredible work, not just in the last year, but for many, many years. And please know how grateful we are to you for your work and are doing our very best to be supportive. And please want to encourage them to continue to be in touch with us as things move forward. I'm so glad that we've sort of finally gotten to this point in our agenda as a committee and be hearing the incredible work of the task force. On Thursday, members, we will be hearing the administration's budget proposals, among other things, and then expect to be receiving a committee target early next week, and then we'll be working on things beyond that. Please continue to keep in touch, and I want to encourage members of the public to reach out to us as we're putting things together. Thank you so much. We're running a little bit earlier than usual, which I think folks will not mind, a little bit of found time at this point in the session. With that, our hearing is adjourned. Thanks so much, and have a great day.